This podcast is a proud representative of The Wellness Company. Go to twc.health/alternatetake for all your wellness needs and type in the promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off. You guys, in today's world, health has never been more important. In fact, it's one of the coolest subjects we've been able to touch on here at Alternate Take, and we've gotten some amazing guests to have discussions with, including Dr. Peter McCullough, who you all know as probably the most famous doctor in the world ever since his episodes on Joe Rogan. He is the chief scientific officer of The Wellness Company, and nothing goes through this whole company without his knowledge. If it's certified by Dr. Peter McCullough, it's certified by us. The Wellness Company is unequivocally and unapologetically standing up for medical freedom and the right to affordable health care. This company has always put the patient first. If you go on their website at twc.health, you'll see all natural products and everything that's going to make you a better human being. Guys, let's get healthy before we even get to the hospital, before we get serious problems. This is the place you got to go. Go to the website, twc.health/alternatetake, promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off, and thank us later. Get healthy, guys. Your family's dependent on you. Yo, what up? This is Alternate Take. I am your host, Danny Rodriguez. Welcome back to the show. On this episode, man, we step back into the octagon, which is easily one of my favorite things to do on this podcast, man, because I'm a goon. It's what I like, man. Fucking fights. And we did it with one of our favorite guests to grace us here at Alternate Take, Mr. Eric Nixick. Eric is the head coach and gym manager at Extreme Couture MMA in Las Vegas, Nevada. And their gym has been very good to me, to say the least. We've had on Eddie Baracco, who's a striking coach out of there. We've had on Dewey Cooper as well, also a striking coach, man. And every time I go visit, man, they're just super cool to me, man, and just great dudes. And this is Eric's third time on the show. So nothing but high praise for guys like this, man. They really are fucking great people, but they're also masters of their craft. In fact, Sean Strickland, one of their best fighters at the gym, just won the UFC middleweight championship, for God's sakes, man, over Israel Adesanya, one of the best strikers we've ever seen. And most of the world was surprised. We weren't here at Alternate Take, man. We know what that gym does. We know the standard that they uphold for everybody there, man. And Sean is an absolute savage. So it was an amazing thing to watch and support. So congratulations to all you guys there, man. And now, their other fighter, you may have heard of him, Francis Ngannou, is going to fight this weekend against Tyson Fury in a boxing match. So we decided to do an episode with Eric to, see what they've been doing to prepare for that, man. It's obviously an insane thing to watch, but it's going to be exciting. And Eric, you know, shared some behind-the-scenes information. So hope you guys enjoy. So without further ado, I bring to you guys one of the baddest MMA coaches on the planet, Mr. Eric Nixick. What's up, everybody? This is Alternate Take. We brought you back the fucking savage from Extreme Couture MMA. How you doing, Eric Nixick?
Good to see you again, Danny. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Everything's good. Just fucking checking in with my buddy here, man. A lot's been going on since we had you on the podcast last, man. And congratulations to you and Extreme Couture MMA and Sean Strickland and becoming the fucking leaders of the free world, man. I'm excited.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, he's quite the character, man. But he went out there and did his job, so couldn't be happier for the guy.
Oh, dude, man. Well, it goes unsaid, man, but you guys obviously have a huge, huge role in all that stuff, man. I mean, it's unbelievable how far the gym is fucking coming, just like the five from year to year to year. It's like you guys just keep getting better and better and better, and it's unbelievable. The fucking proof is in the pudding, man.
Yeah, man, it's been good. And the nice thing is that it's happening for all of our coaches that are in here too. You know, the team is a rising tide raises all ships, and the team is winning. You know, we got guys in the gym that are succeeding. You know, we got Patchy Mix winning a world title, now going to go fight Sergio Pettis. You know, we have Mads Brunell doing so well on the Bellator side with Dennis Davis. you know, everybody's doing great things, man, in the gym, coaching wise, and our you know, stable of fighters is successful. It just really helps the team as a whole.
Yeah, man. And it goes unsaid that, like, as an organization, like as a sports fan, you see organizations that have their shit together, you know, like you saw how the Patriots ran things and fucking for 20 years. And then you see like my favorite team, the Raiders, and you see how fucked up they do things and how they never they get it right. And you guys are like the Patriots to me. It's like, you guys have a culture. People come in, they adapt. You know, I'm not saying everyone's a jerk like a Bill Belichick, but you know what I'm saying? Everyone has an expectation and everyone sets the standard for what they got to get done. And I think that's a huge reputation to have for MMA gym. It's like the most important thing is like, this is how we do things and adapt or die, essentially.
No, I agree. And that's kind of what the standards being set years ago, you know, and when Robert Follis came in, that was something that we all sat and talked about. And how do we want to present, you know, this next 5 or 6 years, how do we want to be remembered? And, you know, I remember sitting there thinking like, you know, we want to be world champions, and the way the culture needed to change, it didn't need to be a coaching change or different coaches riding fighters or making it. It had to be a change across the board as a system that everybody wanted this opportunity to be successful. And, you know, that was like the kind of the battle cry, if you will. It's like, man, we're all in this together. It's going to be a team standard, not my standard or Dennis's or Robert's or somebody else's. It's our standard as a team. So, you know, when Robert passed away, nothing changed, right? It just gave us more reinforcement to keep his memory alive and keep that standard strong.
I love that, man. And it goes also, it's also really cool to see that you guys have like fighters in every different promotion. That's the coolest part, man. Obviously the big news of last year was Francis, you know, leaving the UFC and going to his new thing. Fill us in a little bit on that, man. Tell us how everything's going with Francis and whatnot.
Oh, it's been great, man. He's the happiest I've ever seen him. You know, he's there's a lot of financial freedom, obviously, that comes with, the paychecks that he's going to be making. But moreover, I think he's just happy in his workspace, you know, and what he's doing. He feels like he's maximizing his value and everything that he does when it comes to being a prize fighter. So, you know, I couldn't be happier for him, man. We'll spar tonight. Then those guys are getting on the plane for Saudi on Sunday. And I'm going to meet up with them right after Kai Kamaka's fight. So I'll be out there like October 10th or 11th. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that, like that 2 weeks on the road with the boys again, you know, and getting back to it. And, you know, being doubted again, like no one believes we can win or no one believes Francis can accomplish this. And I understand it's a tall task, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm never going to count that dude out for anything.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I saw that even Mike Tyson was helping out with training and stuff, man. What did you think about that in your head? Were you like, man, I never got into this game years back and I was member number one at Extreme Couture. Now I'm consulting with Mike on how to get Francis ready for a fight against Tyson Fury, man.
Yeah, no, it's pretty intense. You know, he's in your face and he wants what he wants done. And, you know, he's a wealth of knowledge. So just being able to kind of sit there and, you know, almost have that nostalgia as a kid, young kid playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out, you know, and seeing this dude standing in front of me and holding pads while he's punching me and, you know, hitting my belly and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is pretty damn cool. Like Mike Tyson's, you know, hitting my belly pad or telling me what combinations to hold or something like that. So it's pretty surreal, man. And just knowing that like Francis's admiration for Mike Tyson, I think holds a different standard than most. You know, when Mike says something, you're going to listen. And, you know, so when he was doing like cardio or this hard workout, you know, I can tell Francis is getting tired, but you know, Mike Tyson's yelling at your ass. You're like, fuck, I got to keep going, you know? So it's pretty cool, man. It's a pretty cool experience for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because that's actually something I believe one of the last times we spoke where I was giving you guys praise for that, how far Francis boxing has gotten with just you guys. I mean, like when they had the first fight, with Stipe, you saw his boxing not be there. And then the second time you guys were like, what the fuck was that? It was unbelievable. And you saw how much you guys worked on that. What lessons has Mike brought to the table that has made you guys go, oh yeah, we've been doing that too. Or maybe, oh fuck, that's a good point. We didn't even think of that.
Yeah. I just think, you know, remember Mike was a smaller in stature type of heavyweight. So he liked to get on the inside, you know, big body shots, big hooking punches, uppercuts and things of that sort. So his fight game was predicated on how to get in the inside with that bob and weave and head movement and footwork. although Francis isn't necessarily the same body type as Mike Tyson, it is kind of prevalent in the fact that we have to get inside on a guy like Tyson Fury, who stands at 6'9", you know? So it's going to be important, some of the things that he's showing. But all in all, it's like, you listen to what you can take from him now, and it might not apply necessarily for this fight, but you can take those things and apply it not only for your next fight, but I can do that for other fighters such as Dan Ige or guys that do fit that style, that composure. So remember, like, coaching is a broad brush, and just because it might not essentially fit for that individual or what they're showing might fit for that particular fighter, doesn't mean you can't use it somewhere else. So, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, soak it all in like a sponge and use that information.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more with that for sure. And I guess that's the main thing I saw with Strickland, man, is that, like, I heard all the criticism going into the fight against Adesanya. I heard flat-footed. I heard bad defense. I heard puts himself in danger too much, not composed. I heard every fucking thing that, honestly, you guys proved wrong right away, and it was fucking incredible. What were those things that you guys worked on to make sure that all those haters just fucking got shut up, basically?
Nothing. We worked. You know, we did what we do, and we worked hard. And, you know, styles make the matchups, man. And people that had been in there with Sean and were screaming from the rooftops, the Chris Curtis's, you know, Alex Pereira when he sparred Sean, Sada Busi, Johnny Eblen, people that have sparred Sean on a regular basis were adamant that this fight was not going to be as easy as people were saying because of Sean's particular style. Now, for us as coaches, it's just a matter of how do you kind of go out and execute it and not put yourself in bad positions, or, you know, situational awareness, your fight IQ, all those things. How does it come into play? And with Sean, like, you can't overcoach Sean. He starts to get, you know, gets anxiety when you tell him to do too much, you know? So you have to coach him in spurts. Or you coach them in a regards of, like, saying what the most important is, things in these particular assets or areas. Okay, hey man, if we do this, we got to make sure we keep our eye out for X, Y, and Z. And then really leave it at that, because if you give them too much information, dude, you could see, like, the car engine start to bog down, you know? So, you know, for us, man, it was just me and Danny watched a ton of tape, try to pick up as many reads as we could as individuals, as coaches, and then, you know, apply that in the fight setting, which we were able to do, man. It was a pretty cool accomplishment. And I was like playing a video game, watching, you know, Izzy and being a step ahead of him before he threw it, you know. It was fun.
Yeah, man, it was fun. It was fun as hell for me, dude. I was hammered, but I remember the whole thing. It was great. I was at a bar here in Orange County, and it's a local dude. It's a cigar bar, man. I always go there for the UFC fights, and I went, and they're like, oh, it's a private event. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I'm already here. So I had to watch it on my phone, like some gagoots, but it was a great time, man. I enjoyed the hell. Nice. What's next for the gym, man? Tell me your upcoming fights for everybody coming up right now.
Kai Kamaka, October 17th. We'll leave on Wednesday, head out for San Diego. Nice little quick trip, better than that 16-hour flight to Sydney. So head out to San Diego for Kai. He'll fight a very tough veteran, man, Henry Corrales. It'll be a very good fight, very good litmus test for Kai to see where we're at, you know, because Corrales is an OG, been around the game for a long, long time. And then once Kai fights, I'll come home for a day and repack and then head out to Saudi.
God damn, Saudi. That's crazy. Yeah, Corrales is OG. He's actually down the street from where I grew up in La Mirada. And I remember when we saw him fight, I saw him fight Aaron Pico in Inglewood. And yep, it was wild, man, because it had to be like the whole crowd was literally my neighborhood. Because
right,
Aaron Pico was from Whittier, La Habra, and fucking Corrales was from La Mirada. It was insane. It was like a high school reunion. It was nuts.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. So now that you guys are here, man, what's next for you guys in terms of fighters, man? If some new fighters coming in Extreme Couture, man, he's like, hey man, I saw Sean Strickland win, dude. I want to be that guy too, man. What's like the message you're giving this guy, man? What's like, or girl, man? Cause you guys got some bad broads that are fucking kicking ass in the gym right now too. I've been looking at that, man.
Yeah. I think the main thing is people fall in love with the end product, and they see the belt being raised, or they see the, you know, the titles and, you know, the money and all those things. And the reality is you have to fall in love with the process. It's the day-to-day grind and, you know, the marathon of showing up for two times a day, doing two grueling practices Monday through Friday, and then one on Saturday, and having one day off, and, you know, losing time with your family and friends, and not drinking and not eating the shit you want to eat. So, you know, you have to be prepared to fall in love with the process rather than the product. I think people automatically assume it's a pretty easy route when the reality is it's not, man. It's a tough road to climb. And as long as you got keep your head into it and you know, you have the skills and the wherewithal to, you know, put a good team around you and continue to grow, you know, good things will happen. But you see that quite a bit. You see the whole, hey man, how long until I can be a UFC champion is the, you know, stupid rhetorical question. It's like, well, I don't know. Robert Fosse is going to say, how long is a piece of string? It's like, I don't know. Right. So exactly, bro. We don't know. So get your ass in here and get to work.
Is there any, like, I guess kind of like baptisms you guys put fighters through, like, oh, okay, you want this fucking life. Let's see you do this. Is there any sort of like, let's do these drills with them first. Let's see if they're fucking really about this life. Is there anything you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, we have a little bit of in-house hazing. We call it the green light. But it depends. Like there's guys that come into the room and they're super, super like upfront. I wouldn't say they're cocky by any means. They're hat in hand. Like, hey man, like I'm just here to learn. You know, their approach is right. And none of us are going to hurt guys like that. And we don't try to green light those guys, or we'll try to take care of them, but we might be a little bit rough, you know, because sometimes, you know, they have to understand what this life's about. And then you get like the whole, hey man, I've, you know, fought on the streets. I've got this, I can knock anybody out. I've got this. And those guys, usually I immediately tell them no, maybe like the first couple times. Like we had a kid in here last week. He showed up to my pro practice on a Monday, uninvited, unannounced. And he was an hour late. We're literally wrapping up pro practice. And he starts walking in on my mat. And I was like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? And you could tell right away, he was just a jabroni wearing like Sentry gloves. And, you know, you're like, bro, what are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, I'm here for pro practice. And I go, you're late. And he goes, well, I know it started at 4. I'm like, no, it started at 4:30 or 3:30 and you're still late. It doesn't matter. You know, so they get this, like, I think they just had this idea in their head that they can just roll up. And then, so then he wanted to spar the next day. I told him, no, you can't spar, bro. Like you're going to get hurt. And then Tuesday he did it again. He came in, he had all of his gear. He was like waiting like a little kid. Can I come spar? And I said to him, I said, do you understand what's behind these doors? When you go in this room, you go behind these doors, there's fucking killers back here, bro. And they're not going to take it easy on you. The moment they find out that you're in this room, there's no easy round. There's no round off. You're going to be in there for 5 minutes with a fucking dude who's trying to kill you. You realize that, right? Yeah, man, I know. I can do it. I can do it. All right. Send him in there. And I usually like to put him with like guys like my little guys, like Pooney Pagoa, Pooney Braden. And so Pooney is like my, we just, you know, we just say, I give him a little code. He knows what's up. We don't try to knock dudes out. I don't want guys leaving here with concussions and brain damage. That's silly. We call it the gentleman's KO, which is the body shots. You lick him to the liver or you can chop his legs. So that's usually what we'll do, man. We'll be heavy on the body shots and heavy on the legs. And, you know, but back in the days, the Jay Haran and Mike Pyle era, they try to knock your fucking head off and they didn't care if you left, you know, in a stretcher, an ambulance or somebody had to come pick you up. Nowadays, I don't want to see people like leaving here with concussions. So we call it the gentleman's KO, just hit him to the body. So we get that shit all the time, bro. It's hilarious.
That's so fun. And then you get them on Yelp. Oh my God, I went there and they treated me disrespectfully. Jesus
Christ. All bro, all the time. What was the line from Inglourious Basterds? He was like, I've been chewed out before, you know, like, so we got a little talking about, you know, the videotaping of it and posting it. So we're not really supposed to videotape our green lights anymore and post them. So I looked at it like this, like, hey, we're going to videotape, we're going to post it. It's like the warning for the rest of the idiots that want to come through. We're just staking dudes' heads on, leaving it out front of our front door so they know what the fuck goes on in here.
I love it, dude. It gets so many clicks too. I've seen a few of those. I've seen Sean fuck up a few people because of that. That's good stuff.
Oh, bro. Here's the thing that really pisses you off though. And this is like the real side of it for me is that I've been here for 16 years and I've seen what it takes to be a world champion. I've seen what these men and women put their bodies through, so much so that I didn't want to fucking do it. And I have so much respect for how hard everyone in this gym trains. I know how hard our practices are. I know how hard we push these men and women in here. And for some Joe to come off the street and just put out their cigarette and put their beer down and go, hey, you know, I can go in there and throw a couple with them and hang with them. I don't think people understand how absolutely disrespectful it is that they think they could just come off the street and just jump in a fucking pro practice and go with our guys. No mouthpiece and, you know, the wrong gear. I'm like, bro. So sometimes you just go, you know what? I think you need to learn what the fuck goes on in here.
This dude saw Warrior and was like, I can do four fights in a night too. I'm fucking ready.
Oh, dear, you know? Lord.
That movie fucked everybody.
Yep.
Oh man, that's hilarious, man. Well, that's cool though. I like hearing stories like that. I feel like it's just relatable in life, man. I got a nephew, not trying to be a fighter anytime soon, but he's trying to dress like a little fucking gangster. And that shit bugs the fuck out of me. So I remember he wore some FUBUs and was trying to act all fucking cool and shit. And I haven't seen him in a while. And he was like, I was like, hey, Mil, how you doing? And he just fucking like, basically he no-acked me. He was like, hey, fucking say hello. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, fuck. And then he's like, oh, you want to dress cool? Cool. And I'll take you to a boxing gym with kids half your age and kick your ass. And let's see how fucking cool you are now. But I don't like that shit. You know, it's cool to hear that from your gym because people can relate it to any part of their life where everyone sure. needs that humbling factor in whatever sort of genre or whatnot.
Yep. Check your ego at the door, man.
Absolutely, man. I wanted to check in too on your family, man. I know you mentioned your old man was a coach. Did he retired or is he completely done?
Yeah, he's long retired. I think he coached one more year after my senior year in high school. And then he was inducted in the Hall of Fame shortly after, Nevada State Hall of Fame. So he was the first non-head coach. He was only defensive coordinator. So he was the first non-head coach to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And then he was inducted in the school, my school Hall of Fame. So he's been doing great, man. He's still, you know, the old crusty old man. He gets on the X's and O's when football season starts. And, you know, I'll be watching Florida State or somebody will be texting me left and right about whatever stuff. But nah, he's doing great, man. Family's good. Little man's doing his football stuff and he's loving it. My middle daughter's in flag football right now. She's absolutely killing it. She's averaging like 2 or 3 touchdowns a game. And then the oldest is doing dance. So she's on the dance team at Coronado High School. So she's busy as all can be. It's just, man, it's a juggling. The family running in and out. You know, one's carpooling here. The other one's there. One's at a birthday party. So, yeah, I feel bad for my wife when I leave town for any long period of time. So I know she gets mad at me.
That's awesome, man. Very cool, dude. You just got inducted to your high school Hall of Fame too as well, right?
Yeah, I did. I was on the second class into our Green Valley High School Hall of Fame. Yep.
Damn, dude, that's fucking cool. It's pretty legendary, yeah. Man. I don't know who I was talking about this in the last episode with, but we're talking about like, especially if you're from a small town, which I don't know how big Green Valley is, but like, how like if one person does like a big accomplishment, like the town feels like they're a part of it. Like I'm from a small town. I'm from La Habra, so like La Habra is like squished in between Whittier and Brea. It's like just a fucking random city. And anyone who knows anybody from La Habra, if you did something, they're like, I used to drink Four Locos with that guy. Or oh, I saw him do this. It don't matter what it is, you know? So I think that's cool, man. It's a cool thing that they bring you back and honor you guys, man. Especially conventional for MMA, too. They usually do it for like I guess your regular sports, like fucking baseball, football, or whatever. So that's cool they did that.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of long overdue. You know, I think the history of the school is like 36 years now, you know? So obviously I'm one of the older guys there and you know, being in that second Hall of Fame class behind like guys like, you know, I looked up to that were big brothers, but you know, I got inducted in with my teammate Pete Battisti and he was like my family. So, you know, being inducted with Pete was pretty cool because, you know, we traveled a lot together. We actually went to college together. We went on recruiting trips together. So being inducted with Pete was also kind of a sweet addition to that. And, you know, it's nice with that. Finally, like, I feel like the high school is trying to get like the guys back together again and help with the up and coming kids. You know, I actually went last week. I went and spoke to the team because they weren't playing so well. So the head coach called me and said, hey, do you mind coming down and talking to the guys? I'm like, yeah, I'll come down. So it was cool because I got a, you know, we went in the weight room. That weight room is the weight room my uncle built. You know, my uncle was our linebackers coach and strength and conditioning coach. So you get that nostalgia feel, man. You're in the weight room where it all started. And I got sentiment. I got like emotional being in there. You know, it was cool. It was a good feeling. And, you know, all these young kids that, you know, they're following my MMA career, but they don't know where it all started. It started in that exact room that they're sitting on, those benches, those squat racks, you know, everything in there, that smell, the nostalgia of being back, man, really, really felt good to be part of that program once again.
Yeah, man. And especially when it's something from your past, there's always, there's always something that helps you like get through all that shit that makes you emotional. It's like the reason why it does. Like, looking back at your past, whether it be from your time at Extreme Couture or anything before that, man, I know you did a stint as a fireman, like where you're trying to be that. And then all this stuff, man, was there anything that like helped you get through a tough thing like that? Was there a fucking album that was like, fuck man, I would put that shit on? Was there a book? Was there a quote? Was there something like that that you always think about where you go, fuck man, that I would sometimes on my darkest days think about that shit and it would make me feel better or whatever.
Yeah. You know, I had this almost this like intervention sort of talk with my wife at the time. And my wife was like, you know, I'm just not happy with like your, I guess my motivation, like just, you know, you just seem lazy and you seem like, you know, this and this and that, like kind of, it hurt on the front end, right? Like the truth hurts when you hear it on the front end and you naturally want to become defensive and be like, well, you know, I work this amount of hours or I bring home this amount of money and your defense mechanisms kick in. The reality of it was she was absolutely right, you know? And I think for me, that was a big eye-opening experience having that conversation with her, you know, 13, 14 years ago, where I was like, you know what, man, she's right. And I got to be better. I got to be a better husband. I got to be a better father. And then that kind of hit a switch with me where it became more about my own accountability rather than being a finger pointer. I think for longest time, I was like blaming everybody else for my shortcomings when those shortcomings were because of me, you know? And once I was able to identify that and kind of have that freedom of going, hey man, I got to be better here first rather than they did or they did or they did. It really was an eye opener for me and changed my whole outlook, not only just on like my career, but my life, you know? So that one moment, man, it sucked. It hurt on the front end, but you know, my dad always has a saying, it's like, I love you too much to leave you the way that you are. Right. That means like, you know, I'm not going to not tell you what you need to hear. Right. If you're fucking up or if you're doing something wrong or somebody's, you know, going down a wrong path, we have too many people around us that are just content on just saying yes, or you're great, or I love you and whatever else. When you actually really need to hear truth, and you need to be fucking hitting the head sometimes and showing the right way and the right direction. Those are the people that truly love and care about you. And, you know, and I've had a few of those in my life that I try to find and surround myself with more often than not. And I've cut loose a lot of the people that are like you're the best, man. And heck yeah, buddy, I've been with you since day one. You know, it's like, no, I want the people to really tell me, you know, what's up and what's real in life, because those are the ones that actually want to see you become better.
Wow, man. That's amazing, dude. They always say, no one can motivate a man better than a good woman, man. Absolutely.
For sure.
And then not only I completely agree with what you're saying, man. I heard Jordan Peterson actually say exactly what you said, but he said it so perfectly. He's basically said, when someone's telling you what you're doing wrong, they're not pointing their fingers at you and they're not saying, hey, bad you. And they're also not judging you. They're telling you because they can see that you're on a path to hell and they can't bear to see you go down that. So sure. I think a lot of times people think like, who the fuck are you? Who do you think you're better than me? Like, or they like, why are you hurting my feelings? You're supposed to be my friend. And they don't see the intention behind someone telling them what they need to hear, man. It's a powerful thing, man. And for someone to accept it is hard to do. But when they do accept it, it's like your shackles are off, man. You're free.
Yep. Agreed, man. Yep. 100%.
Love that. Off of sports or off of UFC, man, I want to see, what's your take on Florida State, man? What do you think about them this year?
Oh, I'm loving what I'm seeing. You know, I wasn't, and I have to admit this too, because, you know, at first I get when you hire a new coach, it's going to take a little time. Just some of the play calling early on, I wasn't so sure about the Norvell system. You know, losing out on Travis Hunter that one year to Jackson State, you know, the number one recruit in the country, and we lose out to him to a you know, HBU. It's like, oh man, what the hell's going on here? So a little bit of just kind of like buyer's remorse, I guess, for like, what do we get ourselves into, you know? And then, you know, you just trust the process and the recruiting class he's putting together, the coaching staff he's been putting together. He's been a guy who's really taken advantage of the transfer portal and really he's brought in people that have fit his system. And now we're seeing it, man. Like we're seeing even the play calling's getting better. The defense is playing a lot better. Florida State has always been a team that's reminded me of just, you know, like shoot themselves in the foot, like penalties on bad plays and doing dumb shit here and there. So, you know, shit, we're 4-0 now, and we beat the first time we beat Clemson since 2014. So, you know, it's looking up, man. I'm very happy with what we're seeing from the program, and, you know, one game at a time, and hopefully we make it to that, that playoff.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm a Notre Dame fan at heart. That's what I grew up with. So no one shoots themselves better in the foot than fucking Notre Dame with 10 players in the field and shit. You know what I'm saying? Getting embarrassing. No luck of the Irish on last week. None of that.
My dumbass bet on them live to win the game. I was like, oh, they're going to come back and win the game live bet. And I was like, oh, it's fucking Notre Dame. God damn it.
It's always Notre Dame. They can't pull it against Ohio State. Unbelievable. Yeah. But hey, man, I promised you 30 minutes, man. I know you're super busy, dude. I really do appreciate your time. It's always a fucking honor having you on the show. You were like our big MMA guest we've ever had probably on the show. I think before this, we had some boxing coaches and stuff like that. But I definitely cracked my way into the business with you, man. So it's always an honor to talk to you, man. And I'm glad to call you a friend, brother.
Yeah, well, dude, you know, you guys, somebody opened the door for me once. And, you know, I like to do the same for guys like yourselves who bust their ass and work hard and put out good content, you know. So anytime you guys hit me up, I'm going to make sure to make myself available for you, brother.
I appreciate that, man. Good luck to everything, man. And do me a favor. Tell everybody where they can find you on Instagram, where they can find Extreme Couture stuff, and then look forward for your next fights and whatnot.
Yeah, Eric_XCMMA on Instagram and Twitter. That's where to find me.
Beautiful, man. Thanks again, brother. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, bro. Have fun.
Hell yeah. This has been Ultimate Take. We'll see you guys later. Peace. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Our interview with the greatest damn MMA coach on the planet, Eric Nixick. Thanks for joining the show, man. I always have a blast talking to you. And like I said, you know, you are the guy who kind of cracked me into this business, man. I've had some big interviews in MMA, and, you know, it's a very humbling thing, man. It really is. So thanks a lot, man. Thanks for being a friend. For all of you guys who are Eric Nixick fans, I put the link in the podcast description to his own personal store where he sells fucking amazing merch. He has a brand called Burn the Boats. It's awesome, dude. I have all their hats and shirts, and I wear that shit all the time. So go check that out. And also, check out the fight this weekend, man. Francis Ngannou versus Tyson Fury. Unbelievable. Also, you guys, go to twc.health/alternatetake and type in the promo code alternatetake, one word, for 10% off for all your wellness needs. Thank me later, you guys. And that's it. It's always a blast doing this, and I appreciate you guys stopping in. This has been Alternate Take. See you guys later. Peace.